Good Eats has become a staple on the Food Network, but it's not a typical cooking show. Chef Alton Brown created the Peabody Award-winning program to be a mix of MacGyver, Mr. Wizard, and History Rocks. When we last spoke with Alton Brown, he had just finished his motorcycle tour of America's road food. His new book came out this month, Good Eats, The Early Years. It's the first of a 3-volume set, and Alton Brown is in our New York bureau. It's nice to talk to you again.
It is very nice to be on the program again.
Now, Good Eats, celebrating its 10th anniversary on the air, you're going to do a set of 3 books. When you started out to do this, was it hard to remember what you did say in the first season?
Well, it was certainly painful to look back in some ways. You know, when you're kind of just starting out, you make a lot of mistakes. And I would watch the shows and see my inexperience as a performer, or my inexperience as you know, being clumsy as a director, or certainly as a writer. We took each one of the applications, that's what we call recipes because we don't like the word recipe very much. We retested, we made big changes. And sometimes that was a matter of taking viewer input. If 4 out of 10 people write in and say, this didn't work, then there's got to be something wrong. It's not them. It's got to be me. So you go back and you reexamine things with new people, fresh brains, and fix things.
You discovered something about yourself and about your diet doing this show over the last 10 years, right?
Oh, yeah. I've learned all kinds of things. I think that this book, and looking back over this time as I slowly watched myself bloat out, led to finally in March my deciding to make some serious changes in me, which has resulted in losing 50 pounds. I've lost 50 pounds since March, just kind of trying to apply what I actually know about food in a more productive, proactive kind of way. But yeah, it's hard to watch your, you know, it's like I was sat down with, was watching one of these early shows with my daughter who's 9 and doesn't know a time when there wasn't a Good Eats. And she was watching a show from the very first season and kind of slyly she turned to me and say, hey Dad, who's that thin guy with hair? Little witch. I can't do anything about the hair, but I could certainly do something about the paunch. So I jumped on that.
Is it true you cut out milk because it was the gateway to cookies?
You know, it's funny. When I was really looking at the whole issue of diet and the philosophy of diet, I made this list of all the kind of bad things that I used to eat. And there was always a companion food. And the companion food 9 times out of 10 was milk. It was, you know, cookies and milk, ice cream, milk, cake, milk, you know. And so I thought, jeepers, it's milk's fault. Milk's the evil friend telling me it's okay to do whatever, you know, blah, blah, blah was. So I found that, you know, when you get rid of the milk, you don't want the whole tube of Girl Scout cookies anymore. So that made it a whole lot easier to do what needed to be done.
Given everything that you've done and the way that you've explained it, is there much more to cover after 200 some episodes?
I am not sure that it's a matter of new material. I think that in the end, there are only 20 or 30 basic tenets of cooking. The thing becomes figuring out ways to artfully repeat it. Any good teacher, and I've asked teachers about this, about how do you really teach? How do you really get things to sink in? And I've had more than a few of them say that it is artful repetition. It is going at perhaps the same issue from different angles, from different points of view, from different presentation styles that really makes things sink in and become embedded. I tried to not repeat. Matter of fact, my mantra was to not repeat for about the first 200 episodes. And now I'm starting to think more of, well, no, it's time that you do repeat.
Mm. One of the things about your program, Good Eats, is it really broke down what they call in theater that fourth window. Cooking shows, you think of them, they're usually there's a cooktop and people standing behind it and people talking and making things and there's something already in the oven and they bring it out and say, see, this is what it looks like. Yours look like something out of Nickelodeon. I mean, you really wanted to break down those boundaries, I guess, of cooking shows because you used to watch them and you thought they were dull. Yeah.
The dull kind of presentational aspect of food shows and a lot of information-based programs was one of the things that really put me off. I think that a lot of food shows, especially when we started Good Eats back in the late 90s, they were still really about food. Good Eats is not about food. It's about entertainment. Mm-hmm. If, however, we can kind of virally infect you with knowledge or interest or, you know, some kind of curiosity about food, then all the better. But, we, you know, laughing brains are more absorbent.
Kind of like Alton's Playhouse, you know?
Well, it is. And I got to tell you something. Pee-wee's Playhouse was an inspiration. I mean, there were several. The original memo that I wrote to myself was Julia Child, Mr. Wizard, Monty Python. And then after that, I wrote down Pee-wee's Playhouse was a big one, and a BBC series that hasn't been around for a long time called Connections. Hmm. And those were all things that I kind of wanted to dial in on. And yeah, the Playhouse aspect is still there. Still think we do that.
Well, you have recurring characters. I mean, whenever you have
Absolutely.
To go shopping for a gadget or something and you want mm-hmm. to point out to us which one the best is, you know, you have your that nemesis in
W,
the Housewares.
Yeah, W in Housewares, yeah. Who was cast strictly because she took an immediate dislike to me, which I found somehow very comforting, and I don't know why, but she really, really didn't like me. Still doesn't. But it seems to work pretty well.
It's great because, you know, the show as entertainment has lasted for 10 years, and now we have this first volume of a three-volume set with some of the recipes from the shows.
I think it's the first time that a show like ours has waited a decade to do a book, and I felt so strongly about that because, of course, people came to us very early on, and I was like, no. Now, there's nothing new to say. It would just be repackaging something. No, we need some distance. And I think I turned out to be right, because when I open up the book and look at it now, I feel closure.
Yeah.
I feel some closure for this set of shows. But, you know, it's a trilogy, almost done with the second book, which is The Middle Ages, Good Eats the Middle Ages, and then there'll be Good Eats Tomorrow and Beyond.
Ooh.
And that one, we don't know how it's going to end, because we don't actually know when this will be over.
I mean, it could go on for another decade.
Oh, I kind of doubt that.
Really?
I kind of doubt that.
What would you do if you weren't doing the show? I mean, yeah, I know you do other things. I've seen your grape juice commercial, you know. And
yeah, well, one can only live so long on a grape juice commercial.
And you're doing Iron Chef.
I do. I'm the host and commentator on Iron Chef America. If I wasn't doing Good Eats, I mean, that's a scary question, because my entire identity, at least to myself, is wrapped up in that program. So it's something that I think about a lot, and it scares me. It's one of the few things that keeps me up late at night, because I know it'll end, and I'll be the one that ends it. I'll be the one that decides, you know what, I can't keep it at 100%, and I will not let it drop from that. I will not have worked this long and hard to jump the shark and go downhill. So I'll put the bullet in it, and I hope I see a little snippet into the future before that time comes, because I don't know.
You also do a lot of things that are outside the kitchen. We know your motorcycle riding because of the books that you've done, Feasting on Asphalt, for example.
Yeah, in the series.
You want to get a private pilot's license?
Oh, I've had that for a while.
You did?
Yeah, I'm just about done with my instrument rating. I'm matter of fact, I'm starting on a book tour this weekend, and I'll be flying myself.
Really?
And that's probably, I won't say that it's the great love of my life, but next to cooking, you know, it's funny. Part of what I like so much about cooking is that it's about self-reliance. But flying a plane by yourself at night, that's self-reliance. You know, there's certainly a lot to that as well. But yes, aviation history, and I could definitely see myself doing some aviation-related programs.
Do you brown bag it when you're flying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the meals on my plane are pretty good. The service, not so much. You know, it's tough to serve to the back when you're sitting in the front seat, you know, and you know, manning the controls.
All right. Well, I have one more question, Alton, to ask you about food, and I'd like to know. It's more or less an ingredient. What do you think of ginger?
What do I think of ginger? Ginger is one of the most powerful ingredients that there is, from both a flavor standpoint and from a chemical standpoint, from a pharmacological standpoint. It is unique in a way that most foods aren't. You know, nothing tastes like ginger, but ginger. I'd put it as one of my kind of top 10 ingredients, frankly.
Well, excellent. The reason I'm bringing this up is because our program, Weekend Edition, is having another recipe contest, and this mm-hmm. one's going to be Thanksgiving themed. And this is my 20th anniversary as host of Weekend Edition Sunday.
Wow.
So, yeah,
congratulations.
Thank you very much. So for my prize, I got to pick the ingredient, and I realized I really love ginger. I've got candied ginger, ground ginger, fresh mm-hmm. ginger, ginger mm-hmm. ice cream, and so forth. So we're actually going to use this as our secret ingredient. Let me tell our listeners what we have in mind. What we want is your best original ginger recipe. And you can send those to recipes@npr.org. And you have until Thursday, October 22nd. And NPR's food essayist Bonnie Wolf will choose her favorite three. And then I'll get to pick a winner. We should have you here, too, but you're flying around somewhere, right?
I'm flying around, but I might send in a recipe.
Oh, do that. That would be great fun. We would love it.
Let's see how I fare against everybody else.
Oh, excellent. All right. Well, that's Alton Brown. He writes, produces, and is the host of the Food Network program Good Eats. The first book in a three-part retrospective about the show came out this month. It's called Good Eats, The Early Years. He joined us from our New York bureau. Alton Brown, thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me.
This is Weekend Edition from NPR News, directed by Charlotte Bear and produced by Ned Wharton, Elaine Heinzman, Kimberly Adams, Thomas Pierce, Susanna George, Theo Balcom, and Carolyn Beeler, with assistance from our interns, Sarah Molnar and Annika Robbins. Our technical director is Burke Hun. Our reference librarian is Kim Oleski. Melissa Goh is our web producer. Our show was edited this week by Tony Marcano and produced by Walter Ray Watson. The senior editor is Jenny Bergall. The senior producer of Weekend Edition is Devar Iran Ardalan. I'm Leanne Hansen.